The Orange FM.
Welcome, Voltron fans. I am Mark Morrell, and I'm here with my co-host Jeremy Corey from World Events Productions, the creative director behind Voltron. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great, Mark. I am so excited to launch the first official Voltron podcast here. This has been a long time goal of mine, and I thank you and John Eckert for making this happen, and all the folks at Orange FM, Freshcast, Bad Wolf Radio, we're kind of a Voltron podcast, if you will, as far as all these different elements coming together to bring this to fans. So I'm stoked, man. I'm super stoked here. I think we're going to give some fans some insider information and some exclusive stuff into the world of Voltron that they wouldn't normally see on our, you know, fan forums on Voltron.com and or on Facebook or Twitter. So that's my goal. I really want to give fans a reason to check out the podcast, to maybe listen to it while driving or at work or maybe working out or something. We could help them with their cardio, Mark.
Right. There's tons of ways to get to this podcast. All right. We are going to be available on iTunes. And every podcast episode will be at letsvoltron.com. And we also have a Twitter account, at Let's Voltron. And we have a Facebook account, Let's Voltron Podcast.
Nice, nice. We'll work on the MySpace spot, right? If that's out there.
Yeah.
Or the Friendster.
But yes, we did want to thank John Eckert, the head Orange man at the Orange FM podcast network, where Voltron is forming with the Freshcast and Bad Wolf Radio. These are fresh web shows for geeks, designers, and technology lovers. And you will see more podcasts joining that network in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I hope we can get some special guests on here, some folks that were integral into the creation of Voltron, and some folks I currently work with, like Bob Koppler and Tiffany Alardi. Maybe they'll hop on and share their unique Voltron experiences. But there's a lot of exciting things going on with Voltron, and we approach the 30th anniversary, Mark. 30 years
yes.
of Voltron next year. Can you believe it? If you want to make you feel old really quick,
yes.
30 years of Voltron.
Dude, I was 15 years old coming home from school watching Voltron in the afternoons in Philadelphia.
Yeah? Is that where you'd watch it? Yeah. It's mesmerizing, right? I was in Southern Illinois and just taking this all in, and here was this wild world, this mashup of medieval and fantasy and kick-butt robot lions. And what I've always loved, and I've said this before, is that they didn't form Voltron until episode 4. So, I mean, you got to see them, but the anticipation. Was that a similar experience with you?
Yes, exactly. I knew there was this Voltron robot that they were talking about, and I knew we were going to get to see it. But for the first 4 episodes, we were talking about, you know, the characters of the Voltron Force, the space explorers. We were talking about Keith and Pidge and Hunk and Allura and Sven, you know, everybody. And when we finally got to that episode where Voltron formed for the first time, oh my gosh, that was just like orgasmic almost.
Right, right. Geekgasmic. Yeah. And
yeah.
I don't think any show would have the huevos to do that in this day and age. You know, they'd want to push the toy product or something and have, you know, just expose it right away. I can remember when we were in production on Voltron Force, I was pushing the promotional people to not reveal Voltron, the new Voltron. What does the new Voltron look like, until they had to tune in? But that was kind of quickly shot down as, you know, Voltron's our star. We need to show it. But I just thought that'd be a nice reveal. But maybe that didn't work with 1998's Godzilla, the Roland Emmerich, where you don't get to see him. You don't get to see them until you go with them, and you're like, oh, was that it? Really?
It's like when we were watching Jaws for the first time, and it was amazing,
right?
Because there was so much suspense build up, dun, 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 and then you didn't see the shark.
Right.
Oh, what was that?
Right.
What happened here?
Yeah, that could have been our excuse too. Our Voltron was waterlogged and not working, and maybe that'll be the excuse on the live action movie. Maybe that could still happen with the live action movie. But there's lots of stuff going on in the universe. We'll start a new tradition here, Mark, of the upfront shilling. We'll call it Shiltron or something. Activate the interlocks of Shiltron, which I want to mention. One of our fantastic. We'll call him a sponsor of this podcast, right? 80stees.com has the deluxe costume hoodie for sale. Now, this thing is quite epic, and I know people can't see me, but I am wearing it right now, and it gives me powers beyond belief. It may or may not be bulletproof. I can't vouch for that exactly, but Kevin over there at 80s Tees is went above and beyond. This is a totally comfortable zip-up hoodie, and when I say this puts the Hoodie-tron in hoodie as you flip up the top, and it resembles Voltron's black lion head, and there's even an underneath jaw piece to button on there, and then each of the arms has lions. So it's a little pricey, but it is the ultimate Voltron superfan gift this holiday season. So head over there to 80stees.com, support Kevin and all the things he's doing for Voltron. He is truly in it to win it and doing some great stuff. Have you seen this hoodie? I mean, I know that on the Facebook page, people go crazy over this thing. I mean, that's something great to wear to Comic-Con and all the convention tours that are coming up in 2014. So give yourself a little gift, as that sure to be a lot of attention, as our fans like Mark and the other Mark, Mark Oliver, I'm sure he's picked that up by now too.
Right.
So looking forward to seeing some fans in
you
that.
You can't get anything past Mark.
Mark Oliver truly is the super fan. As soon as we put something up for sale on Voltron.com, he is usually the first one. And him and Nancy have really helped us on this new initiative you have with Figures.com that we're going to be releasing shortly into the new year, where it's the first Voltron collectibles management system, similar to Yo-Jo that they do on there, where you can mark down what toys you have, create a wish list, and possibly even trade with fans. So it's I've seen the beta testing of the site.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, you can spend all day just going around, and you get this like blast of nostalgia as you look at these pictures and just, you know, oh, I had that, whether it be the coloring book or the, you know, Castle of Lions from Panache Place. And so it is quite a sight, and that'll be launching in the first quarter. So
What else do you have to suggest for people who are late bloomers on getting the Christmas gifts?
Right. Well, yeah, there's also the if you really want to go all out and you just want to spoil that Voltron fan, of course, the big event will be the Toynami 30th anniversary collector's set. And now this is a new and improved version of their classic masterpiece die-cast Voltron figure, which is pretty much the ultimate die-cast figure they've ever done. It's got new glow-in-the-dark. Well, not even glow-in-the-dark. These are actually like little glowing battery-powered eyes. So Voltron will defend you from nightmares and insomnia. And it all sits on this fantastic base that really showcases the piece. And it comes with accessories and weapons and even a key that features some signature sounds from the original Voltron. So
done in those original die-cast Matchbox or the Panache Place or the LJN toys.
Nothing like this has been done. I mean, this is the premium item for, you know, premium Voltron fans and just robot toy fans in general. So based on the reaction so far and what I've seen of it, George at Toynami, he's an absolute brilliant madman who loves Voltron, and he counts Voltron as really being the robot series that got him into Mecha and all the fantastic things he does today. So our hats off to George and the wonderful work he does. And he's going to have some more surprises in 2014. So, fans can order that on Voltron.com. And if they order from us on Voltron.com, we wanted to do something special because we know this item doesn't ship until around February of next year. So what we've done is sent out holiday cards, similar maybe to the Star Wars back in 1977, right?
Right.
Where they sent it out. But we wanted to do something special. So we've actually had the original Voltron producer, the man who is responsible for bringing this fantastic anime over to us, Ted Koppler, will personally sign each card. So you can stuff that in the stocking.
That's terrific.
Yeah, give that so they know that's coming. And believe me, when we've seen the packaging and we're putting the 30th anniversary logo on it, and George does nothing but quality work. And as you can see, it may be expensive, but that thing's going to keep its value. And all I can tell fans is get in now, because as soon as quantities start to go down, you will be begging for this current price and things with it, as we've all seen with the 20th one, the 25th one that he did.
And you don't want to have to pick this stuff up on eBay afterwards, because you're going to get gouged.
You're going
to
be like a Robeast getting the Blazing Sword filet right down the middle of your wall. What's going to happen?
Like butter. When we were in New York at New York Comic Con, we also found out a very special item was going to be coming out on December 24th. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Just in time for the holidays, Robotech Voltron number 1 is going to be launching next week. Is it not, Mark? Is by the time
yes,
we post,
we're right, 1 week away.
1 week away from the ultimate mashup of the two greatest anime series of all time here, Robotech and Voltron, coming together. Tommy Yoon spearheading this entire project here. He's going to be the cover artist. He's also the writer. It really, I've seen the pages. It's looking fantastic.
We're talking about combining the Lion Force Voltron with the Macross Saga.
Absolutely. Right? And there's a certain event that happened in early on when Tommy and I talked about how can we merge these two worlds. As you know, on the surface you wouldn't think Lion Voltron and Robotech would kind of gel, but you know, one thing that Tommy always brings up is the Robotech universe, you know, relies on a lot of technology, whereas Voltron has infused magic. So what will happen when magic enters the world of Robotech, and in fact sinister magic through forces like Hagar and you know, Zarkon. So it's gonna be very interesting. We found a specific episode, and I won't spoil it, where, you know, it made a nice kind of inciting incident for both series to sort of merge and change in this alternate universe, and seeing these characters that we know and love on both sides, and how will they react together, and you know, how can they unite to take on a shared sort of threat. So it's right. Fantastic. The artwork and is looking amazing, and it's a real throwback to that anime manga style, and we really haven't ever seen a manga Voltron comic book, so this is sort of the closest we're gonna get to see that. The mullet is with Keith, and everybody is just looking even better than they did in their original form in 1984. So it's a definite blast from the past, and that was always Tommy's intention, was to really make this a throwback, and he has, down to, you know, exact dialogue from some of the episodes. So it's going to be crazy. It's a wild ride. I've seen the final pages, and fans can check it out December 24th.
Right. Now, isn't it also available for pre-order?
It's available for pre-order, that's right, at Voltron.com, and again, we want to do something special for fans, so we're having Tommy Yoon sign each copy that you purchase from Voltron.com. So Tommy's going to get a big box of comic books that he's going to have to be signing. So sorry about that, Tommy.
And that is a wonderful bonus to have his signature on that.
Absolutely.
All right. So we also talked about a number of things that are coming up in 2014 as a result of the 30th anniversary of Voltron. And we were, you know, in New York, and we were talking about each and every one of them. We talked about some of the art that's going to be coming out, some limited edition print art. Can you tell us about that, too?
Well, thanks to my friend Mark Morrell, who introduced us to our buddies at Acid Free. It has been an incredible ride with those guys. They've done they first came out with a Tom Whalen print, which was this awesome. How would you describe the Tom Whalen print?
I would define it in a very retro style, you know, mm-hmm. type of art, where you get to see sort of like, you know, the original Thunderbirds when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember that TV series.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It had a very distinct style. And Tom Whalen's style is very much retro in that way. And I think, you know, the fact that he included the robot, all the pilots and everything all in one picture, I think it was just great. And the color scheme is awesome.
Absolutely. And then the second edition, the glow-in-the-dark piece was just, you know.
By Todd Slater.
Yes, Todd Slater did an amazing job where it's this, I mean, that thing just belongs in, like, you know, your 80s. It's like a flashback kind of thing. All you need is a waterbed to kind of complete that sort of 80s vibe there. So that would look good in any dorm room or a place.
If you get that properly framed and you turn off the lights, it is just an amazing thing to see that glowing in the dark.
It truly is, yeah. The defender of your bachelor pad. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Voltron will be back after these messages.
Okay, so we were also talking about things that had happened that you had announced at New York Comic Con. And one of those things was also Lion Forge Comics. Adam Staffaroni and Mike Holmes were there to talk about what's coming up on Lion Forge Comics.
Yeah, Lion Forge is a really interesting company. It's a local company as far as St. Louis goes, which is where Voltron's based out of. Dave Stewart and all the guys over there have a real specific vision for where digital comics can and should be. So they're really getting on the front of digital distribution. And they're going after a lot of really fun 80s properties, including, you know, Knight Rider and Airwolf and those kind of things. And, of course, we had talked early on about doing a Voltron comic and came very close to doing a vehicle Voltron comic. That's an exclusive.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, that you will not hear anywhere else but the Voltron Let's Voltron podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and on letsvoltron.com. That is, in fact, we actually were scheduled to announce a vehicle Voltron comic. And in the end, just couldn't quite get the deal together, as, you know, it's sort of complicated with, obviously, Dynamite being the main licensee on the Voltron comic. But we came close, and we still might do it in the future here. But the idea was to do a vehicle Voltron comic book that would do that universe and some justice and sort of continue that saga. So it was tough, but that's the way it works out sometimes in business. So all those vehicle fans on Facebook, don't worry, we do think of you, and we know, and we want to do vehicle Voltron items as well, and we just came so close. And also that Miracle Toys was very close to being an official vehicle Voltron toy set as well. But in the end, it's just there's a business side that has to be complete, and if the other side doesn't live up to obligations, it's tough to get those products to market. But hopefully, okay, 2014 we'll bring some more vehicle Voltron news and things. So yeah, Dave is and Lion Forge, they're going to bring some of our other properties in the meantime to life, including Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs, which was very similar, as you know, Mecha Show known as Bismarck in Japan by an incredible animation studio, Studio Pierrot, and who we've recently re-engaged and have a really nice relationship in bringing Saber Rider, new Saber Rider events to fans around the world. Particularly, you know, Germany does very well over there. Anime House and Eckert and the DVDs do well, and they do radio plays even there. And we're talking with a guy about how can we bring a Saber Rider video game to life. So I encourage fans who haven't checked out, particularly Voltron fans, as you've got Peter Cullen of the voice of a giant robot named Ramrod. So I don't know right. How you can go wrong with that.
One of the cool things I remember about Saber Rider was there was specific code built into the show that if you were watching it at home and you had the specific gun that you had bought that goes along with it, and you were able to time it so that you fired the gun at the exact time on the screen at the bad guys, you could get a score up on your gun.
That's really interesting you mentioned that, because that was the beginning of Veil Technology, which has been a passion project of Ted Koppler's for a long time, and was used fairly recently in the Batman relaunch show in, what was that, like 2005 or something?
Has yes.
That long? Yeah, and it was used in the Batwave technology, so you can look up the Batmobile, which is a project I got to work on, which was very cool to see the TV screen activate this Batmobile as it would rev up and, you know, fire back at the TV. It was pretty wild. And, you know, Ted has, you know, crazy stories of working with Nolan Bushnell, the father of, you know, Atari, on an interactive technology. So, you're exactly right. Saber Rider was the precursor to that with the gun, and we still have those episodes are encoded, and you can still pull out that gun if you're watching it on a tube TV. And I know some toys came out in France and as well. And I've only recently was talking to Brian Lacey, who was a guy that was very key in bringing Voltron and a lot of our other properties internationally. And he had mentioned how they were very close to a toy deal, I think with Bandai as well, to bring Saber Rider toys to the shelf. And you can see on our Voltron Facebook page or other places the diecast. So we can only imagine what that would have looked like. And I think in that genre of, you know, kind of space western that, you know, Galaxy Rangers and maybe Brave Star, I think that would have been really cool. But I'm super excited about Saber Rider and the possibilities in 2014, both with the comic book and relaunches on a lot of other fronts as we collaborate with Studio Perot. And then, of course, Lion Forge is going to be bringing Denver the Last Dinosaur. He's your friend and a whole lot more. That's right. Yeah. The people who created Voltron also created Denver the Last Dinosaur. And they are going to be bringing out a digital comic with Denver. And we're also talking about a new series with a couple partners that I can't discuss quite yet, but they are super excited, and I've seen some mock-ups of what a Denver series would be, a new Denver series, and it's very surprising. But we'll keep that locked down for now. But I think with the success of the Smurfs and Alvin and the Chipmunks, Denver deserves his time back. And yes, we'll be creating that infectious theme song that will not get out of your head like some evil brain, prehistoric brain worm. So we look forward to infecting America's youth with Denver the Last Dinosaur theme song by the one and only Dale Shacker, who also did the Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs.
And the music for Voltron.
That's right. Particularly, I think, season two of Voltron, he really got to, you know, spread his wings and really do some interesting themes and the things he brought with, you know, guitars. And I mean, those are just still memorable. I don't think he did the theme to Vitor, the Starfire Champion, which is kind of the lost WEP property. It's kind of the hidden treasure. Featured a lot of rotoscoping and similar things. So, fans can check that out. Just search up Vitor, the Starfire Champion, if you want a real blast from the past.
And now, back to Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
You are also doing some upgrades to the Voltron.com website, is that correct, for the
Absolutely.
Store?
Absolutely, yeah. Our buddies over at Griswold, which is a great web design firm, they're coming in actually on this week, and we're going to be completely redoing the Voltron web store, which it's due for an upgrade, and it's going to be just a great shopping experience. It's going to be much more seamless, much more attractive to see, you know, the products, and it's just it's time. You know, we're a small mom and pop robot shop, but we're going to be bringing those upgrades that'll be making it even easier to shop at Voltron.com. And those guys are fans as well, and they're, you know, flipping out that they get to work with Voltron. And so we discover a lot of our partners are, you know, it goes a long way with just being able to work with Voltron.
I've been doing a lot of research lately.
Absolutely.
There's a big 30th anniversary Voltron book coming up from Viz Media in 2014. Going back to 1984, when the show first became a hit, and the licensing deals that followed. I mean, you had Matchbox and Panache Place and MCA Universal and LJN Toys and all these other companies getting involved and just a plethora of merchandise, you know, arose from all of that.
Yeah,
and these days you can still get more and more Voltron toys and merchandise available on your store.
The ones I get a tickle out of are places like Impulse that did a lot of Voltron electronics, including that infamous Voltron camera that has gotten a lot of attention on blogs, as it's a real working film camera that transforms into Voltron. And I believe they're the ones that did the pocket calculator and the transforming calculator watch. So I get a real kick out of some of these the Voltron products that I maybe only had a glance at as a kid, but now get to fully enjoy, like that Voltron Star Shooter camera, is that's what it's officially called, is quite I mean, I'm seeing them right now. They're going on $150 on on eBay. So, yeah, mom was wrong when she threw away all the toys and things. We all know the story, right, in the comic book. So it's just wild, the stuff that's out there.
I get the feeling that the people that are buying it now are not for the images that the camera can take.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably could do some crazy stuff. Maybe we need a Voltron Impulse camera app for your iPhone or Galaxy, and maybe it'll simulate the fantastic filtered imagery of Voltron. Or just put, you know, maybe put Sven and Nanny into every shot that you have. Or that's what we should do on the Voltron Instagram. Voltron Instagrams from the Castle of Lions is Pidge and the Space Mice. The Space Mice have gotten a hold of Pidge's camera and are uploading photos.
You can get that 72-inch cardboard stand-up of Voltron, and you can do a whole bunch of things with that. We need to get all the other characters in their cardboard stand-ups as well, so you can act like you're right there, take the pictures on Instagram, and send them out.
That would be good. That would be good. Just a wild party at the Castle Lions. You know, speaking of big, giant statues and things, we actually recently acquired the Blazing Sword Voltron statue that Mattel had showcased at their San Diego Comic-Con a couple years ago.
So
we have that here at the home base in the Castle of Lions in St. Louis. So we're looking to unveil that somehow locally and really bringing attention to this fantastic animated icon that is Voltron and his St. Louis origin. So we're talking to various companies or various places and landmarks around the city. I look at it as Metropolis, Illinois. You can go visit the Superman statue there. There's no reason you can't see a Voltron statue in St. Louis somewhere. That's kind of our goal. And if RoboCop's getting a statue in Detroit, surely Voltron can have some sort of presence here in his hometown. Because to me, along with Vincent Price, Chuck Berry, and John Hamm, and John Goodman, and all these other St. Louis natives who have went on to become celebrities, I would put Voltron right there with them.
That's right. We were talking about all these things. We didn't really get into the book. Can we talk about the book?
Absolutely. If I can also do some exclusive breaking news on the on Let's Voltron podcast that you'll only hear on this podcast, is that we of course announced at New York Comic Con we're working with Viz Media, Tracy Todd, and the Eternal Voltron fan and Keith Crush herself on a 30th anniversary book. We want this to be the definitive hardcover guide to the Voltron universe. And why don't you tell them who is going to be writing that introduction?
Well, I guess it would be me.
That's right. You know? Mark Morrell of ToonBarn.com fame and now of Let's Voltron podcast fame is going to be helping us write the introduction to the Voltron 30th anniversary book. And I know, Mark, you've reached out to Ted Koppler. You're really getting deep on some of these guys who were the original architects of the 1984 show.
Yes, I have to tell you, going back in time, like stepping into the TARDIS on Doctor Who, and then going back to like 1983, 1984, and figuring out just how these events came together from the first time that Ted and Peter Keefe and all those guys, John Teichman, how they had, picked up their first looks at the Japanese animation, and how they ordered from the catalog for Toei Animation and received the package, and it had the one accidentally Daltanius was not there, and Beast Go Lion was. And then Ted took a look at it and, you know, could follow along even without, you know, knowing the Japanese and everything. And it was, you know, something that they decided they wanted right away.
A happy accident that changed pop culture.
So you're going to get to hear all that in the introduction. And you'll get to find out from Ted and from John Teichman and from Franklin Kofod, who was also the director and producer. And a bunch of the people, Mark Handler, one of the writers, and you'll hear things from Dale Shacker. So there's a bunch of people. Paul Vitello was involved with the sound and making everything stereophonic. You know, so there was so much that went into this, so much work you know, putting together a pilot, you know, selling it to the broadcasters, getting on that first run syndication to like 65% of the United States, you know, and it's just an amazing amount of work went into this by these guys, and taking, you know, the Japanese animation and then doing the mouth flaps and all the voice actors from Neil Ross to BJ Ward to Michael Bell and Peter Cullen, of course, and Jack Angel. And I mean, just so much work. And I'm hoping that the introduction to this book gives you the idea of what really went into just making this for the fans.
Yeah, it was such a fascinating time as these guys were all, you know, guys and gals, pioneers. And I know just talking to Ted and John Teichman, I mean, I wish Peter Keefe was around, as he was a larger than life character for sure, to tell these stories. It really was just sort of all these happy coincidences and magic that came into it. And I often tell John Teichman, I mean, it just, I say, it sounds like it was like Mad Men, you know, you can imagine the smoke filled room and these guys and Franklin Gofan, they're all editing this show together and cutting out.
It was a lot of pizza boxes, as I recall.
That is fantastic. Driving around LA. I know John Teichman, who we should have on the show. He tells the story of going over to, who's the writers? Jameson Brewster.
Jameson Brewer.
Yeah, Jameson Brewer.
He had worked on Fantasia.
Yeah, can you imagine putting that on your resume? Putting that on your LinkedIn? Going over to his house, and he had just this pack of dogs that ran the house, and just
there was like 15 of them.
Yeah, and Jameson would be having a Bloody Mary, and John had to sort of massage and intercept as they needed scripts faster, and Jameson pounding away on the typewriter. And I just want to know what was going down at 3 a.m. or whenever they had Neil Ross, and he talks a little bit about that on the DVD when they decided that the pidge voice, that they were going to go for something like that. Like, what was it? I mean, it just sounds like it's like, or the Sven voice as well. When did they decide? I meant to ask Michael
that. I had done an interview with Neil at RetroCon last October or September, and he was telling me about how he came up with the pidge voice. And he had, you know, there were a few versions of it before the final version, and when he finally got to it, they said, yeah, that's it. Can you do that all the time? Can you do it, you know, in different inflections and everything? And he's like, sure. And Franklin Kofod tells me about how just talented Neil Ross was. He did like six different voices. He could do three voices in the same scene where you couldn't even tell it was him. You know, he said there's the amount of timbre in your voice, and you know, just you can usually tell if somebody's doing a Mickey Mouse voice and then they switch over to Woody Woodpecker or they switch over to Tweety Bird, that it's the same person, but not with him.
No, and you meet him, and he's just got this, you know, very reserved, monotone voice, and boy, he can just turn it on in an instant, and it's just suddenly, I always admire talent like him, and one of the big thrills of being able to be involved in Voltron was the launch party of the THQ Xbox Live and PSN video game, which is not currently available now that THQ kind of went the way of the cut up Robeast and sort of kind of exploded. So unfortunately, fans who downloaded it, way to go. That was and we're always looking for ways to get it back up there, but it's probably more likely you'll see a new Voltron video game experience to be announced. But yeah, we had a launch party with him and Claire Grant and Team Unicorn and Seth Green, just all the sort of celeb Voltron fans from around, and Neil and Michael Bell and BJ came out and got to play the game themselves, and they had lent their voice talents to it, and it was just such a thrill to be able to meet them and get a signed poster, and they really are the voice of a generation. Yeah, so we're still
in touch. Seth and Claire have also contributed to my introduction as well.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah, I was saying that Claire should write a love letter to Voltron, as Claire Grant, for those who don't know, is quite enamored with Voltron as the robot, and I'm sure that drives Seth crazy, which is maybe why he keeps doing these robot chicken sketches with Voltron breakdancing and getting served and Vehicle Voltron getting poked fun at. But we have a cool relationship. They've always been very cool with us, in turn, we haven't sued them for Titan Maximum.
Right. He was talking about how he would love to have a crossover with Titan Maximum and Voltron.
Yeah, that's
Titan great. Maximum was inspired by Voltron.
I would say a little bit, just a little. Yeah, we Bob and I got to go out there and see them, and that's the great thing about working for, you know, a family-owned company is they can have a sense of humor about it. And granted, it would all lie under parody and sort of, you know, that sort of thing, and we would never want to do anything as evil as that. So there's probably no legal things, but it certainly is a lot of fun. And Bob even got mad at me for throwing out jokes. I was saying, oh, you could have like a laser and the robot lion's chasing it like a cat with a laser pointer. And he was like, well, don't just tee up the jokes for him, Jeremy. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, like
maybe we could have went into Voltron Force a season. I don't think we ever did that joke. The laser pointer cat just destroying the city.
Well, we kind of find out in Voltron Force, in the first season of Voltron Force cartoon, that those lions did sort of have their own, you know, behaviors, their own, you know, minds.
Yeah.
And at one point, the Pidge was trying to fix the Nexus on the Black Lion.
Right.
And Black Lion didn't want to have anything to do with that, and he got up and ran out.
Yeah, self-protection system.
Took the other lions with him.
Yeah, and that's something Voltron Force story editor Todd Garfield, he's the one that really crafted all of these wild turns and sort of explorations. And maybe in a future episode we'll go really deep on, you know, the experience of Voltron Force and what, you know, season two was or still could be. As far as just where that could go, because I know a lot of fans are anxious to know what happens with Daniel and his Hagarium infection and the closing moments of first season of Voltron Force, you know, with Black Lion jumping into the camera, which, of course, was all purposeful, where, you know, we really wanted that Back to the Future ending moment where, you know, the DeLorean flies into the camera and you're like, what happened? So, you know, for those
what
fans,
happened?
Well, we can go into it in the future exactly. But let's just say as a tease for Let's Voltron podcast listeners that Daniel would, really become this sort of rogue Boba Fett type character and would have some issues with the Hagarium. And I know at one point, I had pitched out the idea of Daniel becoming Stride the Tiger Fighter, which was a Mark Handler creation from season two of Voltron Force, where he would have his tiger and sort of be, you know, intercepting the Voltron Force at different places, and he would be this, you know, masked, mysterious sort of character, and you'd get back to a core group for season two of Voltron Force that would have Vince, Larmina, Lance, Hunk, and Keith would be our five, where Pidge would be piloting either, there was talk of it was going to be the Castle of Lions spaceship that would fly up and sort of, you know, put the space exploration back in Space Explorer. And Todd had written up this fantastic sort of outline for the second season that would have included, as we revealed in the first season of Voltron Force, the five planets that helped create Voltron, and the whole quest would be the quest for the fifth energy planet, that the mysterious power of the lions that powered Voltron as he would be getting lower and lower on energy. But the problem
we had Balto, we have Ariel,
exactly.
We have Eris, and we have Earth, and we never found out what that fifth one was.
Yeah, the mysterious fifth energy planet would be the quest there. So we hope to, we'll get into all that stuff with the Viz 30th anniversary book. Brian Smitty Smith, who wrote the fantastic Voltron Force comics that are available on Sticky Dot. If you haven't,
yeah, we have all six of those.
Yeah, on Sticky Dot, they are fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, fans of the Voltron Force are just great comic book artwork by Jacob Chabot and all the others. If you want to see just the continued adventures, I mean, they read like episodes of Voltron Force, and they go above and beyond. So next to Todd, Brian. It really has a fantastic voice and handle on these characters. And he's going to be writing, based on Todd's original outline, sort of a Voltron Force epilogue for the Voltron 30th anniversary book. So, you know, similar to, I guess, Transformers Animated does similar things, kind of wraps up stories in comic book form. So
right.
That's what we're going to do there. And like I said, in future podcasts, we'll get even more detail, but that's just a
Speaking of Todd, before we get away from Todd,
mm-hmm.
you never told me what happened when we left that message with him in New York. That phone message?
Right, right. Well,
what happened with that?
Knowing Todd, he's probably very busy as he is the story editor on DreamWorks Animation's Turbo, which is
right.
coming to Netflix. In fact, next week, I think it launches on Netflix. You're going to be able to see the first 5 episodes of Turbo Fast, Fast Action Stunt Team. And you can see the preview online, but you know, I took the family to see the movie, and they all loved it. But I can tell you that this new animated series with this 2D look from Titmouse is just amazing, and it really looks like this fun show that just happens to star these turbocharged snails. But knowing Todd and his humor, and you know, the humor that he really wanted to put into the Voltron Force, which I would say, you know, only half of that maybe got in, as far as you know, both of us wanting to make the show a little more self-aware, and those moments do sneak in there, like when Daniel calls out the rest of the team on how long it takes to form Voltron, and why doesn't a Robeast just come and kick you while you're forming arms, legs?
Right.
Yeah, there were even more moments, and certainly we had a lot of fun with, you know, Dudley being the ultimate Voltron fan who tries to kill them using a replica Voltron suit. So yeah, that was a lot of the, you know, episodes like Gary and things like that, a lighter tone so that, you know,
Gary.
Younger fans. Exactly. Ooh, that still gives me chills, right? But I have an original Gary pencil sketch in my office here, and that was a fun episode to do, and I particularly like Lance with the cup of coffee. And I still tell the Voltron fans online, like Princess Alora P, that we're going to do that Voltron coffee mug with the crest that Lance is holding. I guess I should probably get on that. There's lots of little items, from Voltron bobbleheads to you know, Voltron slippers, which I know 80s Tees has some of those ideas, and they're going to fulfill a lot of those over there at 80steez.com. So
right.
So yeah.
So what do you think of our first debut episode of Let's Voltron?
Well, I would ask what fans think. They can certainly subscribe, leave their feedback on iTunes, and let us know how we're doing and what you would like to hear on the Let's Voltron podcast by either following Voltron at Voltron on Twitter, or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/VoltronOfficial. Do not accept any other imitation sites. It's Voltron Official, as that is myself on there. We're not a huge corporation. We do have powerful partners like DreamWorks Animation, but we really enjoy hearing from fans, and who would you like to see on the show or hear on the show, and what are some of the things you'd like out of an official Voltron podcast.
And as we go on here, we do expect these to get even more exciting. We'll have some interviews coming up. Can you say who we might have coming up pretty soon?
Well,
can you tease that?
Right after we get done with this, I'm going to start bugging Tommy Yoon.
All right.
Yes, writer and cover artist of Robotech Voltron, and he's essentially my equivalent over there at Robotech, in charge of kind of you know, taking care of the universe of Robotech, and he's a super talented guy. He's taught me so much about just anime and kind of the world and where the Voltron creators went off. And he's just a super talented guy, and I'd love to get him on the show to talk about Robotech Voltron #1 coming out next week, and just where he wants to take that series, which is some wild stuff. I know he's having a lot of fun playing in the Voltron sandbox, and he's going to build and build to it. And I think fans are ready.
Yes. Yes, we are. We're going to wrap this up here, and we'll be seeing you probably on a regular schedule, hopefully every other week, like every 2 weeks.
Nice.
And then we'll be plugging everything that's going on in the year 2014, the 30th anniversary of Voltron.
We'll be plugging, we'll be giving away secrets. This will be the place that you can hear exclusive information. And excuse me, I have a Robeast cold here from the space mice sneezing on me. It's going around here in the Castle Alliance. But
are you infected with Hagarium?
I might be infected with Hagarium. I have to check every time I blow my nose. It is purple and glowing. Is
wow.
that some kind of sign?
I don't think that's a good thing.
That's not a good thing? Okay. I'll go get the Power of the Lions scented tissue.
Are,
and
are you feeling somewhere. Particularly evil?
Oh, no more than usual, Mark. No more than usual. I'm just feeling feeling like we're going to give away some secrets. Maybe I'll get on some cold medicine that will have me talk about behind-the-scenes fun stuff as far as insights into season two and things that were came close to happening, and maybe even some news on the live-action Voltron movie and tell those stories, and you can just give me the truth serum, and I'll let fans know. Only for fans who've subscribed to the Let's Voltron official podcast, so get the inside scoop on a lot of the fun stuff that we're doing, and it's all good things as we approach the 30th anniversary. But you will hear things here that you won't hear or see anywhere else, and that's a promise.
You got it. Well, thanks again, Jeremy, and we'll see you next time on Let's Voltron.
Thanks for listening.